Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs Further Education and Training Services, providing training to suit your business, daytime or evening, in class or online, in training centres or on-site.
Welcome along to Business Matters on Highland Radio. This is John Breslin sitting in for Kieran O'Donnell. Later, I'll be talking to a 16-year-old from Lifford who has turned social influencing into a business. With almost 80,000 followers, Niamh Gallagher now has her own website, nivi.com. But first, with non-essential shops and services closed again, many will be reflecting on the past 9 months, on what they've come through, on what lies ahead, and many even considering perhaps if they'll reopen. Well, aside from retail, businesses have had to contend with trying to get staff working from home and deal with staff who are out with COVID. And as if all that wasn't enough, along comes Brexit. Much talked about, much delayed, but it has now happened and businesses have to deal with it. And many are struggling. We even saw DPD temporarily suspending its services around Europe. Well, Local Enterprise Office Donegal is the resource for small businesses in Donegal, and it's to them that many are now looking to for guidance and support. Head of Enterprise there is Michael Tunney, who joins us on the show. Michael, it's a bit of a headache, to say the least.
Hi, John. Yeah, it is, John. And that intro was kind of, I was saying, that's setting one up for a fall. no, I mean, it has been a very difficult 9 months for everybody. I mean, but I can only talk in particular around our experience of dealing with businesses in the county. Go back to March, April, May of last year, I think there was just, people just didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know who to turn to or where to turn, and they were just wondering about the future of their businesses. And regretfully, there's a lot of them back in that situation now. I mean, we're only back a week, but I see from, you know, just yesterday taking calls myself, I mean, there are still a lot of people there now wondering, you know, can we survive this? Because I think they made it through the first couple of months. There was lots of supports came on board. There was that summer when things were kind of, people were hopeful, you know, and then, you know.
Semi-normal
kind of, and then there was the hope maybe that there'd be a normal kind of Christmas, and it didn't last very long. But on the business side, it was just that the uncertainty grew and grew. And then now, I mean, you know, people got into business and make commitments and delivering service and product and make commitments, financial commitments, and now tap has been turned off again, particularly in the whole retail and the services sector, which makes it extremely, extremely difficult for them. And, you know, I just hope that most of them can hang in there, but I can understand why some of them won't, and it depends really, I suppose, on the stage of the life, because I know some people who may have been sort of had their business for 30, 40 years have decided, no, it's, you know, time to walk away from it and retire from it. So that's happening, that part of the life cycle of anybody, but it has been very, very difficult. And as you say, not only that, ironically, in some ways, the impact of Brexit, you know, well, we've got to wait and see, but it's still in our time. And again, we do an annual survey, John, of our clients, which of those are being granted, it's about 250 clients. But COVID was featuring much more as an issue compared to Brexit, which I think says a lot, at the end of last year. So it has been a challenging time, but I think, to be fair to businesses, a lot of them have addressed a lot of the issues and have availed of as many supports as they possibly could. And to be fair, lots of supports were made available, and they're still there. But it's a trying time, and I think myself, John, in the context of our own county and let's say our business base, there is still that. To me, we haven't developed that strong cohort of, let's say, outward-looking, export-oriented businesses as much as we probably could have over the last 30 years. And I think back to the whole Fruit of the Loom and the closure of around, 1999, 2000, where we lost 10,000 jobs over a matter of 18 months in the county. Most of those were reabsorbed back in by way of services, retail, tourism. But we didn't really... You know, I was talking with somebody earlier on just there today. I mean, when you think back to when digital closed in Galway, that closure was supposed to spawn the growth of Galway and the technology, ICT, medical devices. We didn't have that. And we probably didn't, I suppose, we didn't thrive at home as much as we should have. That we should have been addressing some of the structural issues we have in the county in relation to our businesses and the kind of businesses we have, and that ambition that we need to drive within our businesses in the county. And I think that's something that, from the point of view of the county, is still an issue, you know. And hopefully we're going to try and, I mean, looking forward as well, one of the things we'll be doing now is the whole area of developing a new enterprise development plan for the county for the next 5 years. So that's one of the things we'll be trying to look at and see other models out there that we can learn from other regions, but also be critically important is to get the businesses in the county then to work with us on that, and we'll be engaging a lot with businesses in the development of that plan.
There will be a lot of businesses, Michael, a lot of well-established businesses who never wanted or never looked for support, but when COVID hit, they had no alternative. Is that something that you found?
Yeah, and again, what struck me was in the calls we were getting is that a lot of businesses, you say, never availed of support, never looked for, and didn't know where to look for, and that was part of the challenge for them. Because they just, a lot of business people just get on and do business, and they're too involved in their business to start thinking about, well, who might give me a bit of money, who might give me support, or who might give me a bit of assistance here in the training and all the rest. They tend to be people who are focused on delivering the service, making the product, and selling it. You know, it's where do we get the next sale? And that was a challenge for a lot of them. And even still, I mean, up until Christmas and even the last couple of days here, people ringing in, and you say, no, you know, they just don't have it. It's only now maybe they're picking up the phone to ask the question, what supports are out there?
And what supports are out there?
Well, there's always the supports that were always there for the eligible businesses, and that's the thing that changed both through COVID. I mean, some of the other supports that were made available, like through ourselves, such as the business continuity vouchers, which was the first response, was available to any small business across the county. Any small business, as long as they employed less than 50. So that for us, has issued, I suppose, opened another door and another role for the local enterprise offices, which we're saying, well, is this a role that government wants to continue, or is it back to a more added value manufacturing international services type? And that was the previous focus. So there's an issue there. But the other supports are, I mean, you know, there was different loan schemes put in place, but I would generally advise small businesses who are struggling at the moment not to be looking at a loan at this particular point in time. But there are loans from Microfinance Ireland there, from Strategic Banking Corporation of Ireland. And depending on the scale of the business, and we're talking most of our business in Donegal, 90% plus or less than 10 employees, so they're all micro-enterprises. You know, you have the COVID restriction support scheme there from Revenue. I've read it a few times. I do find that it's difficult enough to get into it and understand it, and it's quite bureaucratic, but it is there supporting businesses that have been forced to close or have lost their significant reduction in turnover. You know, and then there was a support and just a continuing support to try and get more businesses online through the training online vouchers. Now, again, I think one thing that being around COVID, the forcing people to work from home, the whole area issue of, not issue, but the challenge and then the opportunity of selling online. The whole technology thing has come forward now a whole lot more. So the opportunity to work from home, to develop your business online, to sell online. Like we had a huge number of, I think last year, well, up until I think the 16th of December, we had received 520 applications for the trading online vouchers in Donegal. And I think there was probably a bit of a run by the end of the year because the system had been 90% and now it's back to 50%. But we're still anticipating about 300 applications this year under the revised scheme. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, that is there, but, you know, to me, there's still a lot of work to be done with those businesses who have gone online, because there's still an issue that a lot of our small business and our micro enterprises there about the sustainability and their level of turnover. And that's, you know, getting to the stage where if it's a one-person operation that they actually are earning a sustainable salary from it or a wage from it, that it's not a supplementary 15,000 or whatever else, that's not what you can really live on or raise a family on. It has to be, you know, giving you a salary, 25, 35, whatever it is. But those, there are issues in still there, and that's where I'd say there's key things that structurally we've never addressed, you know, and I've, you know, nationally and regionally, I've looked at figures there on this GVA, gross value added. So what we as individuals in Donegal add by way of our labours, we have the lowest in the country in Donegal. lowest figure, and it's nearly half what it might be in Dublin. And that's, to me, that to me says there's still big issues there we haven't just addressed yet. And those are challenges. But there's still a lot of support, John. But I think the critical thing for a lot of businesses is it's advice and also just be able to talk to people, whether it be ourselves directly or a mentor or a consultant or another business. A lot of people 9 months ago and even this month, still it's because it's their business. And they just need to be able to get to the stage of being able to talk to somebody about what the challenges are, and then getting other views, an external view as to what's the best way forward.
Yeah, it's been a frustrating 9 months for businesses, and you know, and really an existential crisis for some of them. So it's understandable that they would be, you know, looking around, looking for supports, and looking for someone to talk to, someone knowledgeable to talk to, and someone that can give them expert advice and help. And that's where, you know, the likes of yourselves at the Enterprise Office come in. And COVID is one thing, but then, of course, down the tracks comes Brexit. And eventually it did happen, and now we're dealing with the consequences. And at the early stages of dealing with it and handling the difficulties, you know, what's the feedback?
Feedback so far, it is extreme. Well, first of all, it's extremely quiet, John, which is a good thing, I think, from our client base. We haven't yet. I haven't in the last couple of days back have received any calls or emails about from any of our clients saying I have a problem. There was a few interesting scenarios that before Christmas when people inquired about what about this and that, and I had to do a bit of digging for them at various other agencies at national level who didn't quite know either what might be the scenario. But I think the fact that we got a deal, that took away a lot of concerns. I mean, yes, there's going to be the customs, and people have got to get familiar with that. And I think a lot of our clients in November or December saying, look, we've done kind of the homework now. We just need to wait and see when January comes. What exactly do we need to do? And then we'll know if we'll need to actually, if we haven't done enough, we'll need to maybe come back to you and talk to, or we need to do more on the customs training or whatever. But I think, thankfully, on the Brexit side, within our office and from our client base, we have received very little feedback and no calls yet actually of alarm saying, sorry, this is hitting me big time.
So was it a case of businesses doing so much, but then holding off to see exactly what it was going to mean, what it was going to bring, and just dealing with it when they had to?
And I've often said that. I mean, businesses always find a way to do business, John. Do you know? And they will address challenges once, you know, a lot of them prepared as much as they could, but there still was that, well, so just what exactly is it going to mean come the 1st of January? And by not having the whole issue around tariffs, you know, and finding your tariff code and all, you know, that relays, you know, some of the issues. Now, I would imagine in the whole transport and if you're using the UK as your land bridge to Europe, you know, there's still opportunities there maybe to be looking at alternative sourcing or whatever it is. But at the moment, all I can say is that from our feedback, we haven't had any. I haven't received no emails directly to the Leo or directly to myself, and no calls directly to myself for coming into the office here around Brexit to date. If I just go back to that survey, you know, that annual survey, one of the questions we would ask our client base is just in relation to the level of exporting they do, and then the level that they would do into the UK. Historically, we would have focused on the amount of our clients that were exporting, so generally it's around 72-73% of the Leo grant-aided clients are exporting. But this year as well, we asked them the amount or the percentage that they would be exporting. So the average I give all our clients was just above, was about 10.09%. So I suppose when I look at that figure, I'm saying, well, if 90% of their business is not into the UK, the 10% is something they could probably live with, that small headache of doing what they have to do, and it's not that big a challenge for them. You know, they could probably find that 10% if they need be somewhere else. So that might explain some of their, you know, the lack of angst maybe that a lot of them were feeling in advance. But in that context, now that's only, I'm working off figures of a couple of hundred businesses, but as a representative sample of manufacturing businesses, you know, I could see then maybe why, you know, they weren't as concerned as probably some of us were about them, you know.
Or maybe it's simply a case of they have their head filled so full of all things COVID related that they haven't even gotten around to dealing with the Brexit issue yet.
There was a bit of that. Now again, we had two events last October, November around Brexit. We ran them through the local enterprise office here, but they were ran as national events. So there was, I think it was 500 people on one of them. And then we had one-to-one, an opportunity for online one-to-one sessions for businesses across the country to talk with Brexit advisors. But again, a lot of the businesses had, there's always something from their input and the questioning. They'd done a lot of homework, they'd done a lot of preparation, and it was down to almost small details, a particular question to be about our product or about our code or about if I'm doing this from this, I'm sourcing a product through England using this kind of a company, you know.
Yeah.
So it was very particular things. A lot of them had done their homework, you know. I think I'm just hoping that because of the deal, it'll be a little bit, it'll be less onerous on businesses as we were thinking at least 3 years ago. And we're worried about it quite a lot last year. And at the same time, John, the customs issue is still an issue because there's a lack of the expertise within the country because there hasn't been a requirement for customs clearance, you know, crossing across border into the UK for the last 25 years, whatever it is. Yeah. So finding customs agents is a challenge, and we know that from talking to some of our clients.
I suppose taking some positivity out of it, at least there's a deal, because we can only imagine the chaos if there hadn't been one.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But again, on all of these things, it's as time and as they unravel and things fall out and people realise, well, this is what that means. You know, there may be things that we'll see that, okay, yeah, that's an impediment to a business in that sector, or that's an impediment to that sector. But no, we wait and see. So all I can say is touch wood so far, John, in relation to Brexit. It hasn't been as negative in the first week as we thought it might be, because I know government had been, the government agencies, we had been in discussions end of December. If there was a huge demand and people panicked come over Christmas, how could we respond to it? And, you know, there was a national call line and all put in place, but we haven't, you know, and they were to refer any calls back to the local enterprise office and enterprise Ireland at local level, but we haven't received any yet. So we've got to wait and see.
And although Brexit is now with us, that doesn't mean that the supports have disappeared or that there's no information. I mean, that they're still there.
They're still there. We will be organising monthly. We've scheduled monthly customs workshops or training events that are online. As well as that, government has put in place in the six border counties a suite of additional programs which we will be rolling out, just starting to roll out and promote this week, this month. The one is for the retail sector. There's one around innovation. There's one around exporting. There's one around financial management in the context of, because we're trying to address issues that might be related to Brexit. And the third one is sort of the opportunities for green technology. So those are additional supports on top of the other programs that the local enterprise office will be running. And they're well resourced by government by way of budget. There's as well as the standard supports that were there, and some of those that we have modified, such as free mentoring now under Brexit. We'll have those five programs as well.
And finally, Michael, to end hopefully a positive note. Can you see when the dust settles on Brexit? And when we finally get the other side of the COVID restrictions, do you see a bounce in the economy?
I think there will. Well, if when we see the end of COVID, I think there'll be a lot of people celebrating for a good while.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a bounce.
So they'll be spending money when they're celebrating.
because there's lots of. I think most people. I mean, you know. A lot of people you hear, there's a lot of cash, people have it in accounts and whatever else. I mean, we hear people trying to buy houses now. The problem is people have more savings now than what they had because they're not spending it.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few opportunities. So I think there'll be a bounce because people will have a bit of resources, a bit of money savings, whatever it is, forced savings, and they'll be looking to take a break somewhere, buy things that they haven't bought in a long time just and enjoy, get out and enjoy life. So there'll be that bounce. I think, there'll be a... and the construction and all things related to construction, whether it be in, you know, steel production or whatever else, or in design, or I think there'll be a again a demand there because it's not been satisfied the way it is at the moment. So I think there will be a bounce, yeah, and I think it'll come right down to the local level. But I think I'll go back to that thing that I was talking about earlier. I still think in Donegal there are issues. Not issues, but there's challenges in relation to the type of, don't like using the kind of jargon, but that kind of enterprise ecosystem we have in the county. I think we just need collectively, public sector, private sector, but in particular working with the private sector businesses to address how can we just get more business startups that are really looking at the export market. Because the interesting thing, John, is there's still a lot of positive, there's still a big number of people looking to start business in Donegal. I mean, I was just going through my emails for the last since the new year. There's an average of somewhere between 3 and 5 every day that comes in to our office inquiring about starting a business.
Right.
You know, and I was looking at there as last month in December, there might have been 65 businesses registered in Donegal with the CRO, with registering a business or a limited company. So there's still a very positive thing that people are still interested in starting a business in this county.
Well, on that positive note, we'll leave it. Michael Tunney of Donegal Enterprise Office, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Do you need help developing an online presence for your business? Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Services is recruiting for its next online diploma in social media for business. Email enterpriseengagement@donegaletb.ie or call 912-0500.
Well, now I'm going to talk to Niamh Gallagher. Niamh, or as she's better known, Nevy, is a 16-year-old girl from Ballybuffet who has turned social influencing into a business. As an influencer, Niamh is at the forefront of new fashion, and with almost 80,000 followers across Instagram, YouTube, TikTok and Facebook, she was constantly being asked, mostly by teenagers, where did she get her clothes and why did she not have her own brand? Well, this gave her a business idea to create her own brand of clothing. And her motto is, if you have a dream, go for it. And that's exactly what she did. And she set about designing her own clothing and has launched her own e-commerce website. It's called Nevy.com, spelled Nahmy.com. And Niamh Gallagher now joins us on the show. Niamh, good to talk to you. And tell us, first of all, I suppose, how you go about building up 80,000 followers. I mean, that doesn't happen overnight.
No, it doesn't. So basically, when I was younger, my mom put me into acting classes in the Ballard DCA in Ballybuffet. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've been obsessed with the stage. I loved the camera. I loved everything about it. If there was an award for the biggest drama queen, I'd probably win it. And when I was 9, my mum and dad decided to give me a Samsung tablet for Christmas. And it was filled with videos of me dancing, singing, acting, everything. And that's when I discovered YouTube. So I posted my first ever YouTube video when I was 9. And it's still up there to this day, actually. Looking back at it, it is a wee bit cringe, but it is where it all started. Mm-hmm. And it just shows how much I've grown now up to when I'm 16.
So you're not only growing, but learning all the time.
Yeah, all the time. Everything, mistakes every day, ups and bumps and everything. Yeah.
And what is it that you do on these videos? Why have they attracted a following?
So the one thing that made me stand out the most, firstly, was disco videos. I made this video back in, I think it was 2019, 2018, of my first experience ever at a disco, and I got 10,000 views in 3 weeks. Wow. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. And I showed my whole family. I thought it was amazing. Mm. And a week later, there was another disco. So I decided to film it with my friends. I thought, why not? It would be a bit of crack. It'd be good fun. And that got 10,000 views in a week. And I thought that was even more crazy.
Yeah.
So that was the actual game starter of how I got around and how people started to know me. Yeah. And from there, I started to do skits and I started to do TikTok.
Just different things.
Different things, yeah. Different things.
And as the launch pad, it's a bizarre in a way to think that the launch pad would be an experience of your first disco. But everybody has to start somewhere. And if that's what captures the imagination, then it's great that you can use it, or you did use it as a platform.
Yeah, it was quite mad when it did first take off. It all kind of hit me at once.
Mm. But there must be more to it than that, because a lot of people have been asking about the clothes that you've been wearing, and then that in turn gave you another idea.
Yeah, it did. So whenever I first hit 250 subscribers, this was before TikTok was even a thing, I remember I got one comment on my video saying, oh, your style is really cool, you should make a clothing brand. Mm. So I was like, oh my God, someone wants me to make clothes. I thought that was really, really, like, that was class. So I went down to my mum and dad. I remember going into the sitting room and be like, Mum, someone wants me to make clothes. And the two of them stared at me for a minute and they started laughing. And they said in a sarcastic voice, they were like, once you hit a couple thousand subscribers, come back to us and ask us the exact same question. And not even a year and a half later, I did. That's exactly what I did. And from there, we decided to do our research. The local companies all around Balbuffet have been nothing but helpful. They've O'Reilly's. Without O'Reilly's, I don't know where my company would be today. They have been so good to me.
Brilliant. Okay.
It was very.
And when you say clothes, I mean, what sort of clothes now is on the website?
So we do unisex navy hoodies and T-shirts. We do men's and women's joggers, and we do face masks.
Right. And as an influencer, do you find now that you're really conscious that you've got to wear these clothes that you are promoting or that you've designed and that you're selling? Or are you looking to expand all the time and do different things, different ideas, and you know, and use other things?
Yeah. Well, in the future, we're hoping to release loads of other things like hats, and can't really give away much because they are quite—it's quite a secret. But every month, every special month, for example, Christmas, we do last December there, or the December that just passed, we did a thing called Christmas boxes, and in the Christmas boxes, we give away a hoodie and a navy teddy, and on the navy teddy, there's like a wee T-shirt with the navy logo on it, and what's really unique about that is, whatever colour you order in the navy hoodie, the teddy has the same colour in it. So say if you ordered a red navy hoodie, the little teddy would be wearing a white version of it, so you can match with it.
Brilliant. Great idea. Now, with 80,000 followers comes greater demands, I suppose. And, you know, you've got to keep up with demand insofar as you have to put up the videos regularly. Mm-hmm. And I'd imagine you have to go back to people about, you know, various questions and inquiries and stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah. You normally would. Some people do ask, like, the same question over and over again. If you keep like answering it does quite get annoying sometimes, but at the end of the day, you gotta do it. Like,
mm-hmm.
You get new people every day. Like, it's, you have to do it, like, you know.
Yeah. And is that how it works? Do you find that there's likely to be some people who drop off and don't follow, and then they'll be replaced and hopefully replaced by even more people?
You know, some people would stop by, they would look at the video, they would watch it once, and then they would be like, oh, that's okay, but it's not enough for a follow, which is completely fine. Like, some of my content is not for everyone. Like, not everyone's going to love you at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But there is going to be more people who haven't found you yet, who is going to be obsessed with your content, loves it, and wants to see more of you. So there definitely is going to be people who haven't seen my content yet, who will fill the places of the people who have, like, are not really that interested in it, if you get me.
And do you find that it's a lot of pressure having to come up with new ideas and a concept maybe for a new video, or are your videos more about sort of, well, I'm doing this today, anyhow, I may as well film it?
Sometimes it is like that. Sometimes it's kind of like on the spot. That morning I'd be like, okay, this is going to be actually quite an interesting day. I might as well do it. Other times there would be points where we would be in the house, like eating dinner, for example, and Mum or my sister, Catherine, would throw out an idea and I would write it down in my wee notebook because I have a routine for different spaces of when I film, when I edit, when I brainstorm stuff, and then when I have time to spend it with my friends and family, because you have to focus on your mental health as well.
You can't live your life online.
No. Something's got to stay private, you know.
Yeah. And what has the website been like since it was launched? I mean, has there been a lot of traffic to it, and has there been, I suppose, a lot of business done?
There has been. It has been amazing. The whole website has just been non-stop going. We actually updated it there recently, where whenever you go into the product that you want to buy, you can see what colours what colours are there and how many is left in it. And we've also updated it so you can see my most recent videos and more about me and all my social medias.
Brilliant. Well, it sounds like it's you know, you're already on a great pathway, and we wish you every success. And
thank you very much.
Can you give us any hints and ideas as to where you go from here?
Yeah, so we did a pop-up shop there a few weeks back for Navy Clothing before the restrictions, obviously, with Level 5, and it was a massive hit, and people are asking for a part two of that, so maybe in 2021 in the future we can come up with another pop-up shop, and along with that there will be more giveaways and collabs with other influencers around Ireland, virtually of course because of COVID, but it'll be good fun.
Well, it sounds like it's been good fun up to this point, so long may that continue.
Yes.
Niamh Gallagher of Niamh.com, thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you so much for having me.
And that's Business Matters. My thanks to Carolyn Orr for producing and Candice Wilson for editing. Kieran will be back with you next week for all the business that matters across the Northwest.
Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Services, providing training to suit your business, daytime or evening, in class or online, in training centres or on site.